Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
We are in the second week of a brand new series that we just started on Easter Sunday last week called Follow. And basically, we want to look at what does it mean to really follow Jesus? You know, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Because for a lot of us, there's a lot of different connotations for what that means. We've been raised in different church environments. We've been raised with different religious expectations. Some of us have been raised completely outside of any sort of religious expectations. And really understanding that is key to knowing how do we follow Jesus. And so one of the things we talked about last week is that we've all been invited into a relationship to follow Jesus, every single one of us. And a couple of things that we discussed was the fact that being a sinner does not disqualify you from following Jesus. In fact, being a sinner is a prerequisite. Jesus called people to follow him who were sinners. You will not find anyone who Jesus called to follow him who was not. It's mandatory. It's a prerequisite. You can't follow Jesus unless you're a sinner. That's who he wants. We also talked about the fact that you're not disqualified from following Jesus if you don't believe. That believing everything about Jesus is not a line that you have to cross in order to follow him. In fact, the invitation to relationship with Jesus is open to you no matter how much you believe, no matter how much you understand, no matter how good of a person you are. And so that's just a great foundation for understanding how do we follow Jesus and the fact that, hey, we're all in. Everybody's welcome to come and be a part of this relationship that God is offering to us through his son Jesus. But for some of us, you know, knowing the fact that Jesus is opening things up for everyone to follow him and knowing how to follow him are two different things. Because for some of us, maybe you're like me, I'm a type of person, I tend to think big future stuff. Like I like to think of myself as a visionary. I want to cast a big picture of the future and say, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to be. This is where we're headed. And that's really great. But like the steps from here to there are sometimes really vague. You know, I know I'm going to be that, but right now I'm this. I know I want to lose 20 pounds, but right now I'm 20 pounds overweight. Okay, let's do this. But how, you know? And some of us, when it comes to following Jesus, it's the same. And it reminds me of when I was in junior high. And so this is going to be very, some of you guys are just going to, you're going to own this. Because when I was in junior high, that was the age at which you begin thinking about the opposite sex, right? You start thinking about girls and boys and, you know, you're in puberty in the midst of it all. And all of a sudden there's this thing that's introduced to our vocabulary and it's this thing called going out. And all of a sudden, instead of just hanging out and playing, you know, kickball and dodgeball with you know, the girls at recess and pushing them to the ground and laughing because it's funny, now all of a sudden it's like, maybe I want to go out with this girl. I'm not sure what's up with this. And so in junior high, that's the age where, you know, you're interested. And for me, I didn't really know what that meant. And in fact, you know, some of you guys can relate to this because some of us in junior high, you know, there's this girl that you're kind of into, and you're like, oh, she's cute, and oh, I found out this girl thinks I'm cute, so what do? You take a piece of paper, and you write, will you go out with me, Y/N, and circle one if you think she's dumb. I mean, if you don't think she's quite all there, you say circle one because you want to get a good answer, and then you fold that up, but you don't give it to her, right? You give it to your friend to give to her friend who will then deliver it to her. Because the reality is you've never had a conversation with her a day in your life, right? So the note gets passed, she gets it, she circles Y or N, and you know, hey, maybe this time it's Y. She gives it to her friend, it goes back to your friend, it comes back to you, and there it is, there's that Y. Will you go out with me? Yes. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, we're going out. I'm going out with somebody. What does that mean, right? Like when I was in junior high, I don't talk about relationship stuff with my parents. I'm just telling on myself because maybe I'm a bad son. Seriously, Terry and I were practically almost engaged by the time my parents even knew we were dating because that's just like, that's just how I rolled. I'm just like, very private. But when it came to like dating girls in junior high, I'm not asking questions. I'm not talking to anybody about it. So I'm not telling my parents. And so here I am. I'm going out with this girl. I probably never had a full conversation with her a day in my life. And now that I'm going out with her, I'm definitely not going to have a conversation with her because I'm terrified to go anywhere near her. And so you wait 2 weeks until you pass the note and say, hey, do you want to break up? Y or N? And it's usually, why? This is crazy. What are we doing? And so for me, one of the things that set me free after junior high and moving into high school was I had a tutorial on the steps that come into going out with somebody. There was a group of guys who put together really for people in my generation, what was a guidebook, if you will, on on the steps of how to go out with somebody. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you the step-by-step guidebook that I followed going into high school on how to go out with a girl. So guys, go ahead. Let's share that with everybody. Okay, so all the New Kids on the Block fans are out there. Woo, what? So here's the thing. Like, when I first picked up on this song, I misinterpreted it completely, right? And so I tried jumping over drum sets and doing these wiggly dance moves, and that didn't work for me. And so ultimately what I did is I realized this, is that junior high girls and high school girls, girls who were my age, who I was trying to go out with, All they cared about was the New Kids on the Block, right? And I was just this chump. And so I recognized the fact that if I want to go out with a girl, I need to become like the New Kids on the Block. And so I decided that I was going to dig into this step-by-step guide and figure out how to get with you girl. So let's follow the rest of this and let's just keep going, guys. So let's go ahead. Okay, so knowing that I would never be as hardcore as the New Kids on the Block, I had to interpret and incorporate this step-by-step guide. So I want to talk to you guys about that guide. So first obviously is step one, and that's this. Step one is we can have lots of fun in a group environment. And so that's me hanging out with, you know, we're just at school, sitting at a lunch table. Maybe the girl I want to go out with is sitting here. And so we can have lots of fun together in a group. You know what I mean? And so then obviously is step two, which is, I mean, there's so much we can do. We can go roller skating. We can go to the bowling alley. We can go bowling, you know, in a group again. You know, we can go to the JV group, small group. We can go to the varsity small group. I mean, hey, if you got kids in junior high or high school and they're trying to go out with somebody, you got a son who's trying to get with you girl somewhere, JV in the varsity group is exactly what you want to do because there's so much we can do together in that group environment. Step three, this is where things start to really turn. It's just you and me. Now, this is where you're talking on the phone until late at night. Now, for me, that was like that long, twisty phone cord that went into my parents' bedroom, but that ran under the door, and I could hold it, and that's when it's like, are you still awake? Are you still there? No, I'm still here. No, I'm not going to sleep. No, you go. Okay, I'll hang up. No, you. Okay. Because hey, it's just you and me right now on this phone. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's step three. You start to, you know, start to separate, and you talk together, and then this one's the best. Step four. I can give you more. I mean, I'm talking about flowers. I'm talking about little trinkets, items of jewelry, candy bars. You know, one of the things that I could give you more of is the new Kids on the Block album. You do that, that girl, you got her. And then finally, step five, don't you know that the time is right for you to go out with me? And that's where you write the note that says, will you go out with me, Y or N? And when you deliver the note following the steps, you're gold. And that's the New Kids on the Block guide to how to get with your girl. Now, here's the thing. Here's why I bring that up is because in the same way that figuring out how to get with a girl in junior high and early in high school is tricky, there's steps to it. A lot of us, it's the same way when it comes to relationship with Jesus, to following Jesus. We're like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, Jesus, okay, I'm going to give you this note. Will you go out with me? Yes or no? And Jesus is like, well, yeah, duh, I'll go out with you. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just hang out with my friends, Jesus, and do what I did before we started going out because I'm not really sure what the steps to following you are. And so what I want to do today is I want to take a cue from the New Kids on the Block, and I want to look into a story of Jesus. Actually, I want to be your personal New Kids on the Block, if you will, and I want to guide you through what a story of Jesus tells us about a step-by-step way to follow him. And what we're going to do is, looking in this story, we're going to discover that there's certain phases or steps in following Jesus that are going to apply to everybody in this room. And my hope for all of us today is that as we go through this step-by-step guide, that we're going to see where we are in this process and in this journey, and ideally say, man, there's next steps that I can take in following Jesus. Because step-by-step, ooh baby, I want to get with you, Jesus, is really what we're going for today. That wasn't in my notes. My wife is like, shoot, why did you say that? Take that out of the podcast. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And this is going to be a familiar story to some of you, and we're going to look at a couple different versions of this. But in Matthew chapter 4, the story goes like this. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing the nets. And he called to them to come too. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. So I don't know if you ever heard this story before. It's really the story of Jesus calling several of his disciples, the fishermen disciples, to come follow him. And I think if you've heard it before and you're just going to be honest, like I'm going to be honest, I've read this and I'm like, okay, that's pretty hardcore. You know, in Matthew, it just says this, Jesus walking along the shore, he sees some fishermen cleaning their nets and he's like, hey guys, come follow me. And they're like, okay, they're leaving my nets. My boat's just going to drift off into the sea and I'm just going to walk away and follow Jesus and that's it. And I've read that, and you know, I grew up in church, and I've always told, man, following Jesus is a sacrifice, and you just got to leave everything behind. And it's like, are you joking? These guys just, they don't know this man. He just walked up and says, come with me, and they do? That's insane. That's what crazy people do. And let's apply it to my life, okay? In order to follow Jesus, if I'm sitting in, let's say I'm sitting in Compass right now, and you're inviting me to a relationship with Jesus to follow him. You're telling me this. I don't know anything about Jesus, God, the Bible, but man, something's resonating with me. You're telling me this, that in order to follow Jesus, I have to give up everything right now and come follow Jesus, just like these fishermen did. Leave everything behind, walk away from it, and follow Jesus. And a lot of us in church life have been told, well, yeah, that's it. And I think a lot of people would say, okay, well, thanks, but no thanks, because I mean, everything I do in my life, I do it in an informed way and I do it deliberately. I'm not gonna get a mortgage on my house, which is the first offer. I'm not gonna go buy a house and have the counter offer they make or the asking price be what I pay for it. That's crazy. We're gonna go through the process. I'm gonna take steps. I'm gonna understand this before I jump in. And yet to follow Jesus, I just have to leave everything behind, drop it all and follow him. Well, you know what? If that's the case, I think I'm good on my own. I think I can figure things out on my own. And I would venture to say that's been the attitude of a lot of people. Maybe that's, you're even sitting in this room and that's been your attitude. Maybe you grew up in church, your family is very religious. But for you, it's like, you know what? This is too big a leap for me. Well, I've got some good news for you today, because in this story, there's a second version of this story that actually takes place in the book of Luke. Now, Matthew and Luke are both gospels. And what that means is this, Matthew and Luke wrote a book that was the story of Jesus's life. Matthew is one of his disciples. Matthew walked with him. And so Matthew wrote about his experiences following Jesus. Luke was a guy who hung out with Peter and some of the other apostles. Luke didn't walk with Peter, but he tells us that he investigated this at the beginning of his book, that he investigated and he interviewed a lot of people and he wanted to get the real story on what happened with Jesus. And so he got all sorts of sources and he got all his facts together and then he wrote it down into a single account. Now, Matthew wrote his gospel, his book, his story was primarily for a Jewish audience. And the audience he was writing for is a Jewish audience. They were an audience that was comfortable with faith. They were an audience that was comfortable with religion. And so if you're talking to a religious audience and you say, hey, you know what? In order to follow a spiritual leader, in order to follow God, you need to just in a moment drop everything and leave it all behind. An audience that's comfortable with faith, an audience that's very comfortable with religion is going to go, well, yeah, duh. That's, of course, what you do. But Luke didn't write to a Jewish audience. In fact, Luke was writing to a Greek audience primarily. He was writing to people who were unfamiliar with Jewish culture on the whole. And so Luke gives us a different account of Jesus calling Simon, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John that I think is going to speak more clearly to what it means to following Jesus. Because ultimately, following Jesus, it can't just be a will you go out with me note, yes or no, without knowing the person at all. And I think Jesus has more for us. And we're going to see that in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. So the story in Luke says this. This is how Luke tells it. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Okay, so right out of the gate, Matthew says Jesus was just kind of walking on the shore, because that's not important to Matthew or his audience. He just wanted to communicate the spiritual thing. But Luke, he says, I want you to know the facts. I want you to know the details of what's happening here, because I want you to really get it. So now instead of just walking along, we see a picture of Jesus, and he's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching, and he's teaching people. And the crowd is into it. They love what Jesus is saying. And the crowds back then, they flocked to Jesus anyway. They loved his teaching. It was unique. It was fresh. It was for people who weren't the normal religious crowd. And so they wanted to hear Jesus. Jesus was healing people. And so you see this massive group of people kind of crowding in on Jesus as he's teaching on the seashore. And the crowds are pressing in to listen to the word of God. As the crowds are pressing in on him, Jesus noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So again, paint the picture. Jesus is standing on the seashore and he's teaching people. And as the crowds get bigger and bigger, they start to push. I mean, if you've ever been to a rock concert, you know how this goes. If you get there early, you see the opening band, there's always lots of room, right? But then when the headliner comes in, all of a sudden everybody's pressing forward. And to hear Jesus speak, everybody's pushing and they're pressing forward. They want to hear him. And so Jesus is getting pushed back and he's getting pushed back until there's just nothing but water behind him. So Jesus, knowing he's about to get pushed into the Sea of Galilee, looks around and he sees some boats over here, and he sees these fishermen over there washing their nets. Now here's what we gotta understand. The fishermen over here washing the nets, it's Simon and Andrew, or Simon Peter. Simon is his name is gonna be changed to Peter, so they're interchangeable. So it's Peter and his brother Andrew, and they're fishermen, right? And they have been fishing all night long, and they're over here cleaning out their nets. And while they're cleaning their nets, Jesus is over here on the seashore and Jesus is teaching. And he's talking, and he's teaching people about the kingdom of God, and he's teaching people about this new relationship with God that he's come to usher in. And Peter and Andrew are cleaning their nets, and they're just kind of listening. They're sitting, they're cleaning, and they're listening. And they're hearing what Jesus is talking about, and they're cleaning and they're working. And then Jesus, recognizing he's about to fall into the lake, or into the Sea of Galilee, he says, hey, and walks over to these guys. And he says this, let me borrow your boat. And stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So again, Jesus, he's on the shoreline. There's not enough room. He goes to Peter and Andrew. He's like, hey, guys, I need to borrow your boat. Can I just sit in this? They're like, yeah, you know what? Sure, why not? We're cleaning our nets, whatever. So they take this boat and they push it just a few yards off of shore where everyone can just rush and push themselves to the shoreline and they can hear Jesus teach. And then Jesus is covered. He's in the boat. And so Jesus keeps teaching. He's teaching the crowds. And over here are Peter and Andrew, and they're cleaning their nets and they're wrapping them up. And so here's the thing. Peter and Andrew, as they're cleaning their nets, as they're taking care of their fishing business, and let me paint a picture for you too. Let me just give you a background on what it meant to be a fisherman. They fished all night because fishing all night was when you could get the fish. The fish would come up when the waters would cool at the surface. And so they would go out overnight. They would drop their nets because they were net fishing. They weren't like fishing with a line where it could drop down deep and catch the fish. Fish at the surface, so they catch it with a net and they throw it in and they try to pull the fish in from the surface at night. And then when the sun comes up and the water starts to warm up, the fish start to descend deeper. And so, you know, there's not really any fishing to do. So what the fishermen would do is after they would make their haul, they would row into the shore in the morning and they would take their nets and they would set them on these racks and they would just start pulling off seaweed or shells or any junk, you know, styrofoam cups and Slurpee cups, whatever. They start pulling all that stuff off of their nets, hanging their nets. Once the nets are clean, they let the nets dry. And then when the nets are dry, they fold them back up, they put them in the boat, and they save it until the next night when they're going to go fishing again. And that's what Peter and Andrew are doing, cleaning the nets, taking off the seaweed, letting it dry, getting squared away for the next night of fishing because they've been fishing all night. It's the end of their day, and they're getting ready to move on. But they're sitting, and they're hearing Jesus teach. They're hearing what he's saying to the crowds. And as they're sitting and listening, they're absorbing it. They're hearing what Jesus is saying. And one of the first things I want to make sure that we understand when it comes to following Jesus, that Luke's version of events tells us that maybe Matthew's didn't, is this, is that following always starts with information. Following Jesus always starts with information. Jesus never asks us for blind faith. Now, when I'm talking about blind faith, I'm talking about a completely uninformed, just ignorant faith, a faith that's ignorant of the details of what we're putting our faith in. God would never ask that of you. He's not asking you to have a faith in him that is not based in anything. Because following Jesus always starts with information. In fact, Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to a church in Rome and he's explaining the process of salvation. He's explaining the process of how people follow Jesus and what that means in a spiritual sense. And he's talking about people who don't know Jesus right now, who are far from him. And he says this in Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And so even Paul, you know, 30 to 50 years after Jesus, is talking about this urgency of telling people about Jesus. He speaks to the urgency of communicating information about Jesus. And why? Because following Jesus, faith always starts with information. Simon Peter and Andrew are sitting there and then they're cleaning their nets and they're gathering information. They're sitting and listening to Jesus. But then something interesting happens after they're sitting and listening for a while. Jesus comes up and he says, hey, can you lend me your boat? I need it, or else, you know, we're going to get pushed into the lake and or the sea, and I can't talk to these people anymore. So lend me your boat. And so Peter and Andrew are like, well, okay, take the boat. So Jesus goes out, and they've taken another step. Jesus is in their boat. They're still clean and taking care of their stuff, and Jesus is out there continuing to teach. The story continues on in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. So now, if you've heard this story before, this is where things get a little off the rails. Because here's the thing. These fishermen, when do they fish? They fish at night. They fish at night because that's when the fish are there. These guys are professionals. This is what they do for a living. They know how to fish. And Jesus is going up to them. He's finished teaching. He's in their boat. They bring the boat back. And Jesus is like, hey, guys, I want you to do something. I want you to go against everything that you know about fishing. I want you to go against everything you've been taught about fishing. I want you to go against all of your experience as it relates to catching fish as professional fishermen. And I want you to push this boat out in the middle of the day when the water's hot and the fish aren't going to be the top. And I want you to try fishing again. Now, I imagine that Peter and Andrew are like, what are you talking about, man? That's crazy. It won't work. We're not going to catch any fish. It doesn't work that way. And they look at each other, they're like, and Jesus, we just cleaned all these nets. I mean, they're drying now. We did all this work. And they look at each other, but they've been sitting and they've been listening. They loaned Jesus their boat so that maybe they feel this, maybe a little bit of obligation, you know, maybe just a little bit of trust. And like, well, all right, Jesus, this is crazy. It's not going to work. I mean, I know it's not going to work. We're not going to catch any fish, but you know what? You've been working real hard teaching. We'll just give you the benefit of the doubt and we'll go do this. Let's go push out and fish. And here's, I want you to be clear on this. This is what Jesus was asking them. Jesus was asking them to do something that they had done 1,000 times in a different way. Jesus was asking them to do something that they thought they were experts on, and really they were experts on, that they had done over and over and over again every day for their living. He was asking them to do something that they had done 1,000 times in a different way. The story continues in Luke chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. Master, Simon replied, and this is interesting. Notice Jesus says, or Peter says, Master. He doesn't say Lord. He doesn't say Messiah. He just says Master, right? Kind of a term didn't call him Rabbi, just Master, a term of kind of general respect. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. So they go out, they throw their nets out, and it says this. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners, James and John, on the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish on the verge to sinking. And so here's Jesus asking them to do something that made literally no sense. He's asking them to do something they've done thousands of times in a completely different way. They know it won't work, but they're like, you know what, Jesus? We'll do this your way. Let's just do this. And they go out expecting nothing. And all of a sudden, when they throw that net down, they pull it up, and it is so full of fish that the nets they've used all night, the nets they've just cleaned and dried, they pull those up, and it's so full of fish that their nets begin to tear because of the weight of the amount of fish that were in the boat. Now, this doesn't make any sense. It should never have worked. Common sense would tell us that it's crazy to go out and try to fish with a net and catch that many fish, and yet it does. And they caught so many fish, they continue to throw their net out, that they've got to call another boat out there to continue to pull in all the fish that they've caught. Luke 5, 8 through 11 continues, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, when Peter sees this out in the boat, he sees the fact that there's all these fish, that this never should have worked, but it did because Jesus asked him to do something different. Simon fell to his knees before Jesus, and he says, oh, Lord. I mean, get that? At first, it's, now, Master, you know, Sir, Professor, listen. You know, we've just cleaned everything up. Okay, but you know what? Just out of respect for you and your position, you know, we'll do this. But now, he's done what Jesus asked him to do in a completely different way, and now Peter's saying, oh, Lord. And he continues, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you, which is awesome because what did we talk about last week and just the beginning of this week is that that's exactly who Jesus wanted to be around, Jesus wanted to be around sinners. And I can imagine Peter saying this and Jesus going, that's why I'm with you, Peter, because you're a dirty, stinking, gross, fish-smelling sinner. Because Peter was awestruck by the number of fish they'd caught, and so were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And here's where we see that familiar passage that we saw in Matthew. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So, you know, we're like, well, why didn't you just tell the story right to begin with, right? But reading Luke's account, we can see just a completely different scope and set of steps that come to following Jesus. It's not just a Jesus says, follow me, and it's you saying, okay, I leave everything behind. My family, my finances, my job, my resources, because that's what these fishermen were leaving behind. I mean, Peter and Andrew, James and John, I mean, it was a family-owned business. I mean, their dad's out there in the boat going, guys, anyone, you know? So they leave their boats, all their nets, their resources, their family. I mean, they just left it behind. But we can see from Luke's account that it wasn't just an immediate thing. There were steps involved. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that we are very clear on following the steps of following Jesus. Because across the board, no matter where you are in your relationship with Jesus, whether it's you're sitting here and you don't even know if you believe in Jesus, or you're not even sure about this, or you know, you're that person who grew up in church, you'd say you've been following Christ for, you know, your whole entire life. There are steps in the process that Jesus has for us. And it doesn't matter how long we've been in relationship with him. So let's really look at what these steps are out of Luke so we can understand where I am and where I need to go next. And so first thing we're going to see, the first group of people, the first step we're going to see is sit and listen. Sit and listen. The crowds pressing in on Jesus, and Jesus just teaching on the shoreline, and they're hearing him teach, and they're just absorbing it. Peter and Andrew sitting on the shore, cleaning their nets, just sitting, listening, hearing all the things that Jesus is talking about, hearing the principles that he's pouring out about how to connect with God and to know God and to be part of this new kingdom of God that Jesus wants to usher people into. And so maybe you're at the sit and listen phase of following Jesus. And so you know what? You have permission to sit and listen. And so for you, you know what your step is? Come next week. Come next week, sit in a seat, stand up during the music, drink some coffee and a donut, and just sit on the shoreline and listen. That's an important step to following Jesus. And here's the thing, it's a valid step because the reality is every single one of us who are followers of Jesus now, we all had a sit and listen phase. Maybe some of us, our sit and listen phase was when we were kids in kids' church over and over again, hearing the stories of Jesus, hearing the familiar stories of the Bible. You know, that was our sit and listen phase. Maybe for you, your sit and listen phase starts today. And you're like, I'm not dropping my nets, Chris. That's crazy. I'm not walking away from all that stuff. But you know what? You know what I'm willing to do? I'm willing to come back next week. Maybe your phase is just to sit and listen. Maybe you're in a stage two, and that's this. It's loan your boat. You know, you've sat and you've listened and you've kind of observed like Peter and Andrew did. And now Jesus is just asking a little bit more of you. He's saying, you know what? I want you to just get a little bit more in. I want you to get a little bit more connected to me. And you're in the loan your boat phase. They loan Jesus their boat. Maybe for you, that's this. Maybe it's just, I'm going to start reading the Gospels. I'm going to start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in the New Testament. For the first time in my life, maybe I've never read the Bible. I'm just going to start trying to just explore Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus. You know, I'm not sure about it. I'm not saying I'm a Christian. You know, I think I still think all this stuff is fairy tales. You know what? That's all right. But you need to start taking that next step that says this. I'm going to loan Jesus my boat. And I'm going to say this. You know what, God? I'll give you some of my mind. I'll give you some of my heart. I'll give you some of my energy. And I'll start reading. Maybe for you, it's getting into a small group. Maybe it's connecting with some people who can kind of talk to you about this stuff. Maybe you want to weigh it out. But you're at a phase right now where you've been sitting and listening. And you know you need to go further. We have these what's next books that we created to kind of walk people through the next steps of following Jesus from the beginning of their journey. On your connection card, there's a checkbox that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. If you check that box, we'll send you that information. Maybe for you, loaning Jesus your boat is just checking that box so that we can send you a book to just walk you through the process of following Jesus. But there's a third step, and that third step is this. go fishing. Now, this is a big one. I would expect there's a lot of people in this room who are at a go fishing stage. And that's this. That may be that Jesus is asking you to do something that you've done 1,000 times in a different way. You've lived your life a certain way. You've been following Jesus, but you've been living a certain way, and you've been doing things the way that you always do them. Maybe you're just doing things the way that you were taught to, or you were raised to, or the way the people around you are doing things. But even now, you get a sense that Jesus is calling you to do something in a different way. You know, we a couple weeks ago, we talked about finances when we entered into this tithing challenge. Some of you guys who entered the tithing challenge, this 90-day challenge to tithe, to give 10% of your income for 90 days, some of you guys said, you know what, I'm going to go fishing, Jesus. And here's the thing, I've managed my finances thousands of times. And what you're asking me to do doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that I give more of my money away and that I'm more taken care of financially because you're going to provide for me. It doesn't make sense. But you know what, Jesus? I'm willing to do like Peter. I'm willing to go take my boat and my nets out and fish in a way that everyone thinks is crazy. I'll try you on that. I'll tell you this, if you're at the go fishing stage and you get the sense that Jesus is calling you to do something you've done 1,000 times in a different way, it's probably going to be related to relationships or finances. It's probably going to be related to your job, how you spend your money, how you save your money, how you interact with people. Jesus is going to ask you to do something in a different way. But listen, when he does, you can see what happens in Luke when Peter and Andrew go out in their boats and they fish and they pull back an amazing haul. So much of their nets were tearing because they said, you know what, Jesus? Everyone else would say it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do things your way. And maybe for you, it's time to start doing things Jesus's way. And then the last group, the final group, are the people who leave their nets behind. So maybe you sat and listened. Maybe you've loaned Jesus your boat. You've gone through a starting point class and where you kind of learn the basics of faith. And you've tested Jesus. You've done things that didn't make sense, but you tried life in a different way, the way he asked you to. And now you get the sense that you can trust him because he's come through for you, because he's proven himself in the same way he proved himself to these fishermen. And you're at a point right now where you're ready to leave your nets behind. Maybe you know, even now, just in this room, just hearing what we're talking about, I guarantee you that there's not a single person in this room that God is not calling to a deeper and closer walk to him in some way through Jesus. There's not a person in here that Jesus is not saying, I want you closer, I want to know you more, and I want you to know me more. I want to be closer to you. Because following Jesus is about relationship. And you're in one of those four areas. You're sitting and listening. You need to loan your boat. You need to go fishing and do things in a different way. Or maybe you're at a point where you need to say, you know what, God, I surrender everything to you. I'm going to leave everything behind and live my life completely committed to your cause, committed to your purposes. And whatever that means for my job, whatever that means for my finances, whatever that means for my relationships, you've proven yourself to me and I can trust you. I can trust you. Step by step, Jesus is calling us to move forward and growing with him. And maybe you've been at a point in your relationship with God where things have gotten really slow, and maybe you've stalled out. It happens. It happens to a lot of people. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time. You followed Jesus for years, and you're like, where's the love? The excitement is gone. And yet in this, you can recognize, okay, you know what? Maybe Jesus is asking me to throw my net in a different way. Maybe Jesus is asking me to step away from those nets entirely. I know this, God's speaking to hearts. God wants to do something in you. And my challenge to everyone in this room is this. Next week, come back, sit and listen. My challenge to you is this. Start reading the gospel accounts of Jesus's life. Check your box on a connection card so we can get you a What's Next book so you can begin to explore what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Sign up for our next Starting Point class. You need to go fishing. You need to trust God with your finances. You need to do it. You need to stop flirting around with it and say, you know what, God? I'm going to do something I've done 1,000 times in a different way. You need to trust God with your relationships and say, you know what, God? I've been fighting for what's mine in this relationship, and I've been fighting for recognition, and I'm trying to get my wife to just acknowledge the fact that I need things, and my needs aren't getting met, and you know, it's not right. And maybe Jesus is saying, hey, the best way to get your needs met is to let them go. to do something in a different way. I know this. When you take that step, when you take that next step, Jesus will meet you there. He'll meet you there. It's my promise to you, and it's his promise to you. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the stories that you tell us in your word. And I thank you, God, I thank you that these are real people in real history, in real encounters with you. And God, I love that the reality of who these people are can speak to the reality of our lives, God. And that the same way that real people followed you when you walked this earth, that real people can follow you now. And so, Lord, I pray this, that you would help us to begin to apply and internalize these principles that you're showing us about how to follow you, God. I pray for those people in this room who need to keep coming back and just sit and listen. That may be all you're calling them to. That may be all you're asking of them right now. But God, I pray that you would challenge them, encourage them to do it. I pray for those of us who need to loan our boats, God, that you would give us, Lord, the courage and the boldness to take those steps, to begin to explore what it means to follow you, to explore faith for ourselves. God, for those of us who need the courage to go fishing, God, I pray that you would give us a boldness to trust you, knowing this, that you will come through in the same way that those nets were full and tearing, those boats were full to the point of sinking, God, that our lives will be full to the point of sinking with whatever you want to pour into them, God. And then for those of us who are at a phase in our relationship with you where we need to just stop and say, you know what? I need to let go of my own agendas. I need to let go of my own ambitions. I need to stop thinking about what's best for me or my family or my bank account or my career, and start thinking about what does Jesus want me to do, knowing that you will take care of all those other things. God, I pray that as a church, we take one big step closer to you this week, and I pray that we would continue to move closer and closer. We love you, Lord. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.